Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
Let's open our Bibles, please, to Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, look at verse 10. Therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. In application, you can take the word Egypt, and you can take it and just put there the application for us concerning the world. Look at it again. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of our generation, out of the world that is there. In application, that's what our call is. As Moses had a call on his life, there's a call on your life and my life to look around to see who we may be able to speak with. I had a guy come into my office yesterday, and he was just kind of just wound up. He's going, Bill, I just want to be in ministry. I just want to be full-time in ministry. And my heart went out to him right away. And I said, well, tell me about it. What's going on in your life? And he goes, well, I got this new job, and God is doing this, and God is doing that, and I've witnessed to this person, I prayed to this person, and this person's got healed, and then people are coming up to me, and they're asking me to pray for them, and it's a hard environment, and they cuss all over the place, and they tell dirty stories, and they look at me, and see me as weird because I won't enter in and that way, but this is happening, and this is happening, and I just like it so much, I want to be in full-time ministry. And my jaw dropped, and I just said to him, you are. You are. And he just kind of looked at me. What do you mean? No, I want to be in full-time ministry, you know, like you, or whatever he said at that point. I said, nah. You want to be where you are, because that's where the Lord is moving, you know? He's got us, and he's calling each and every one of us to be, as God was calling Moses here, to take these people out of the world, to change their lives, to introduce them to a living God, who came and died for them, that they could live abundantly here on this planet, but to live forever and ever and ever. We know these things, and they're exciting things. But right here, we see aspects of ministry that we talked about are actually 10 principles of ministry, and I just want to review them very quickly, and that we looked at 3 weeks ago. Number one, God does things according to his timing. This chapter began with now. And we talked about that. I'm not going to go back and redo that Bible study. You can get you can go online and get it free if you want to listen to it, if you'd like to do that. But God does things according to his timing. He has a timing. We have to be patient. I just told the man yesterday, if that's what God's going to do, that's what God's going to do. He'll have a timing for that. That's his call. It's none of your business. And that's something for us to be really concerned about, are sensitive to. It's all about God. God does things according to his timing. 3 weeks ago, we talked about number two, the second principle of ministry, which was found in verse 4. God's instruments must be God-dependent, not independent. It's very important if we're as we're called into ministry, and each and every one of us are called into ministry. And the principle that we have here, Moses just simply said, here I am. Here I am. Here I am in the workplace that he had. Yeah, people were cussing. Yeah, people were telling dirty jokes. And yeah, he had to stand against it. But I told him, you're new in that job, and it'll be interesting to see what that place is like a year from now. That if they've cleaned up their language, if they stopped their dirty jokes and all that, the influence that you'll have in their lives, you never know. Is that worth it? It'd be worth it for him to be called in there, you know, and things will be changed. The third principle we looked at was found also in verse 4. God can use only the broken soul. He turned aside to look. The broken soul will be sensitive to the Spirit of God. The broken soul will turn to look at what God wants that soul, that person to look at. And he'll speak and he'll guide. And as Jeff was sharing about his testimony, he moved from San Diego. First, you went to Arizona, though, didn't you? Yeah, you went to Arizona. Was it Flagstaff or what's that up there? Prescott, yeah, and went there. And so the voice of God, it's amazing if we will simply turn aside and look or listen like Moses did. The fourth thing we talked about is God's will must be done according to his way. Moses said this, so I have come down. Naturally, he was doing his will, and we must do his work according to what he has revealed as he's come down. He's come down in the person of who? Jesus. And he's revealed to us his work and his way that we find in ministry that in that way. And the fifth thing we saw was that God prepares the messenger. Moses was tending the flock. I'll tell you what, if you're tending the flock, you're learning a lot about ministry, right? Someone has said, if you can't stand the smell of how's it go? If you don't want to be a shepherd, however it goes, you know. If you can't stand the smell of sheep, you'll never be a shepherd, okay, in that way. And so I don't know if that compliments you, us, in all that way. Moses was tending the flock. There was a preparation there. And so, you know, if we don't want to be with the people that have the greatest need, like I was talking about that guy on Sunday, you know, he had a tremendous need. And I said, the Lord put him right there between us on the airplane and all. And that was exciting to me. Very exciting. There he is. He couldn't move. He really couldn't move at all. Then we see the next principle is God uses the backside of the desert to prepare people he will use. The backside of the desert, the place of trials, the place of tribulation. I've learned more in the valley than I've learned in the mountaintops. Mountaintops are great. I love the retreats. I love the chances to do those things. But it's the valleys where we learn. That's where things grow. That's where the water is and where God will bring things to be. Then we saw God requires us to turn aside to be with him. Moses said, I will turn aside. We must take time to turn aside. We must be people of prayer. We must be people of the word. We must set ourselves aside to listen to him and to be guided by him. A principle that we have is we're called into ministry. And then number 8, God's minister must be a servant of God. Moses was told to take the sandals off your feet. He became a servant at that point. That was a sign of a slave. And that's one of the reasons God said, this is holy ground. Take off your sandals from this, because he was to become a slave, a servant at that point. If we want to walk in our ministries, we are a slave to God. We're a servant to God. We in America don't like that word slave, but that's who we're to be. And he turns around and he sets us free. And that's an amazing thing. And lastly, we talked about God's minister has a reverent respect of God. Moses hid his face. Hid his face. We're always to be respectful. I was talking to someone the other day, and we were talking about respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, right? How many letters in that word? Well, there should be a song. Ed, could you create a song on respect? Could we do that? R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Like that. But we were talking about the importance of respect. You got it down? You got it down? Go for it, Violet. Come here, I'll give you the microphone. But you know the importance of being respectful. Truly, truly is. So many people have lost that. They've lost It's respect. We start with our children at a young age, do we not? If you don't teach respect, by the time they're 2 years old or 3 years old, you've lost a certain part of the battle. You got to teach them respect. They need to learn respect. I can put up with a lot of things, a lot of goofball things that, in life, and when we were raising our children, put up a lot of things that they did. But as soon as they weren't respectful, I was in their face. Loving way, but a firm way. And that's not to be allowed. You will not be disrespectful to your mom. It is not allowed. You know how you do it? A man can get that authority and all that, and just you, that will not be done. This is my wife, and this is your mother, and it's not to be accepted. And they learned real quick. Today we have children that respect, and I think that's a good thing. And so here, as we just got a little bit of time to go, the 10th principle of ministry I'd like to look at and expand this evening is God's call to his true servant will come. God's call to his true servant will come. It says here, Moses said, God said to Moses, come now, I will send you. Look at this as we go through there, verse 10 again. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt, out of the world. I'm going to send you to a person, and he's going to send each and every one of us. The Bible College are praying right now. They're praying about Myanmar. They're praying about Spain going there. They're praying about, where else are we praying about? Huh? Two places? That's international, but nationally they're praying too. People will stay here and go different places. I think Paul has some ideas on that. Maybe he hasn't shared that yet, but God has a place. God has a place. And so look again, beginning in verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, where? Out of the world. I put in my Bible, this is our mission today, to bring people out of the world. It's very important. So the first aspect of our call to ministry is found here in verse 10. God is the initiator. Our call will be initiated by God. If it's initiated by a person, you don't want any part of it. That's why when people come to me and I have an open heart and I listen very closely, but I think the wisdom of God tells me that I point them to God to find out what God is doing in their lives. I can't tell them, you should do this, you should do that, you should do this. I may be able to say, what's your giftings? Tell me what you enjoy doing and what do you get pleasure out of? And then I said, well, maybe it could be this, it could be that and all that. It's got to be God. Find out where God is moving. Go join him. Let him initiate. But if you find out where God is working in your life, that's where he's initiating, and that's where you'll find your blessing. And so that's an aspect of the call that I believe it is very important. Now it is God's will, not Moses' will. It wasn't Moses' will, obviously. How do we respond when God calls? That's a question to consider. Do we respond when God calls? It can be a call into salvation, pray the people would do. But after salvation, it could be a call into service in certain ways. But today, he could have spoken and said, I'm calling you to this. Tomorrow, he could call us to this. How do we respond when he calls us? Do we have a sensitive ear? Do we have an obedient heart? Do we have a willing attitude to go wherever he would want us, tomorrow? Would we even hear when he calls? Will we hear when he calls? Do we have ears? Are we so busy in what we are doing and so set on accomplishing what we want to see accomplished that we could miss exactly what he's doing? The call of God is precious, truly is precious. When you call, you speak of the call of God, people think, oh, missionary, that's a real call or whatever. No. You know what a missionary is, don't you? It's just the person that's doing what we do here in another land. It's all missionary is, You just ask them. They know. But sometimes people build these things up. Do you hear or are we too busy to take time to hear? It's very important to see that. Over and over in Scripture, we see people that are called. Look at verse 11, please. It says, but Moses said to God, notice what happens here. Moses says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Was Moses going to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? No. But here's a principle of ministry, a call. We must respond appropriately and in faith and in obedience. When that call comes, you know, it's not going to necessarily be easy, but we come to that point and we realize, God, you are calling. You're calling us to do whatever that may be. And then we have to respond simply. We respond immediately and appropriately and obediently. And speaking these words, Moses said, "Who am I?" It shows that the desert did have an effect on Moses. Yet it still shows a lack of complete trust in God to do the work. It's hard to respond to a call at times. When he puts us, he has a way of putting us in situations that are beyond us. Anybody think that's true? Beyond us. He'll put us in positions that are beyond us because that's where he can be glorified. And so that's where we want to be. But it's hard. It truly is. It is good to acknowledge our inability, but we must have an attitude of willingness to yield to the will of God and his mightiness. Now I'm going to talk about Ron. He's sitting right over here. Everybody look at Ron. There's Ron there. Okay? Ron. I love Ron. He's been a good friend. He's been on the board. How many years have you been on the board? Nobody even knows you're here, that you're on the board. That's great. That's good. Well, how long? 14 years. And so he's been a man to walk alongside, to lift up my arms. And, you know, he just was faithful in his business. He was in construction for year after year after year. And then recently, I think it's been 2 years now, maybe 2 years, and he started getting involved in what's called Truth at Work. And that's an interesting ministry where you bring guys together in small groups, and they actually pay to get together in a small group. I can't figure that out. You know, they just pay, and they pay pretty good too. And so then Ron's full time with that. He does that full time. And how many groups you got? 200? Six, okay, six groups and everything. But it's neat to see. I love to see that. I love to see what God has done. But what I watched is I watched that Ron embraced it. Ron's not a bashful guy by any means anyway. But he embraced it, and he began to walk in it. I watched it from a distance, and I had conversations with him, and I just watched that and everything. And Ron's nothing special. Oh, I'm sorry, Megan. He's very special, yeah. He's very special. But he yielded to the will of God, and he yielded to the power of God to create something, and I'm very blessed. We're all the same. God has a purpose for us, and it's the same thing in our lives. Who am I? It was good that he said that. There was a brokenness, but yet that who am I also limited Moses. Because look at again there in that verse 11. Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? And that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt." Well, it's good that he was humble, but it also limited. The eyes of the verse show also Moses' dependency upon self and his looking at limited resources. How like us, whenever we are faced with a challenge to think first of ourselves and the resources we lack. Do we ever do that? I can't do it, Lord. I can't do it. I mean, I do it all the time. I do it all the time. Basically, I'm a very quiet person. You guys realize that, right? I am a very quiet person. I just always have been, sort of. But anyway, you know, and doing what I do is not necessarily the most natural for me. You know, if I'm in a group, usually I'll step back from the group a lot of times and I'll just kind of listen. I learn more by listening than talking. I really do. But, you know, God puts us in places it's not comfortable. The third thing that we see, the third aspect of the call of God, it's found in verse 12. Look what it says. So he said, "I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I," now notice the two I's in this verse, "I have sent you. When you have brought the people of Egypt, you shall, brought out the people of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." That is a neat aspect of the call of God. God calls us, he will be there with us. Isn't that nice? If he sends us, he's already been there before us. If he sends us, he's going to be there with us. And wherever we walk, we'll be there with God because he says, "I'll never forsake you. I will never leave you." And so the call that you guys have on your life today, all of us sitting here today, are you guys breathing? Everybody's breathing? You have a call on your life. There's a call on your life. It can be day by day. It can be something that's developing. Police officer Matt, you have a call. Nobody knows that Matt's a police officer. You can't see his gun. He hides it. Okay, you know, but that's a call, don't you think? I think it's a call from God. I mean, have you ever I ride around with police officers all the time, you know. It's got to be a call after all the stuff they see, all the stuff that they go through and all that. That's a call, especially for a Christian guy, because you go in. I go sometimes into, I can't think what the word. What is it when they meet before they go out? Roll call. I go on the roll calls. Those guys talk nasty. They really do. And I'm going, I don't want to be here. I mean, they really, and they talk about everybody. I'm sorry, this is going to get back, I know it. But, you know, they talk about other people and they tear them down and all that. I'm thinking, I don't want to be here. I really don't want to be here. But, you know, because of the call, God will put us in those places to do that. If God calls us, he will be there with us. The real lesson to be learned, I am with you. That's a lesson. He won't leave us alone. If he's called us, he's going to equip us. The fourth aspect of the call of God, look at verse 13. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to you, what is his name? What shall I say to him? Very interesting thing we see here. The fourth aspect of the call of ministry, we must walk in the authority God has given us. See, Moses is really asking, by what authority am I being sent? By what authority? Moses realizes that he will need an authority besides himself. And so that's what he's expressing here. Remember, they asked Jesus, by what authority do you do these things? People want to know the authority. And Jesus, he was the authority, so he could just kind of say, I'm not going to tell you anyway, you won't listen. Moses was asking that God reveal to him his qualities, his nature, and his characteristics. When we understand the qualities of God, we understand the nature of God and the characteristics of God, then we can go and walk in our calling. And we need to ask God that, Lord, who are you in the midst of this? And then he reveals himself, and that's what we see throughout Scripture, especially in the Old Testament. He reveals himself in new and fresh ways each time so people would understand who he is. Now, very quickly, the fifth aspect to our calling. We must know him, and we must know he is the one that is sending us. Look at verse 14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Doesn't that sound like Popeye? I am who I am. And he said, thus, how many people here don't even know who Popeye is? Vivian, do you know who Popeye is? You really do? Where's the other Bible? Where, you know, there's a lot of backslidden Bible colleges today, college students today. Where are they? They're on the, back on the floor back there. Caleb, do you know who Popeye is? Oh, absolutely. Okay, absolutely. Okay. I am who I am. But again, you know, that's terrible. This beautiful verse, I'm ruining it, aren't I? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. There couldn't have been any higher name. He was introducing himself in a very special way. The name reveals God's personality. Simply stated, I am. I am the eternal one of God. I am independent of all time. I am the reality of God he's presenting. He only exists God is the one who exists and he remains unchanging. He has redemptive purposes of God. He's all of these things that we're seeing here, but he simply introduces, I am the eternal one. I am who I am. There is no other besides me in that way. And so we see that in a call. Again, we must know him. We must know God to walk in our calling. That's why we read the Scriptures. That's why we spend time in prayer. Because as we know God, then we're empowered. We're able to go forward as he would want us to go forward in a very special way there. I am that I am. Arthur Pink said this. He says, the I am of the burning bush now stands fully declared in the blessed person of our Savior who said, I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the true vine. He is the eternal I am, the same yesterday and today and forever. It's the I am. It's who God is. And I found this little expression here. My name is I am. I was regretting the past and fearing the future. Suddenly, my Lord was speaking to me. He said, "My name is I Am." He paused. I waited. He continued. When you live in the past with its mistakes and regrets, it is hard. I am not there. My name is not I Was. When you live in the future with its problems and fears, it is hard. I am not there. My name is not I Will Be. When you live in this moment, it is not hard. I am here. My name is I Am. And so he is the I Am. He's always with us. He's the eternal one. And that's what Moses needed to hear. The sixth aspect of the call of God, look at verses 15 and 6 through 17 there. Moreover, God said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt, out of the world, to the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and the what? Outsites and the what? Huh? Uptites. Yeah, uptites too. To a land flowing with milk and honey. So what do we see here? The sixth aspect of the call to ministry. God will give us his message to speak and what we are to do. God is amazing, isn't he? He'll fill us with the message. He'll fill us with his message, what we're supposed to say. He'll give us the words as we trust him. He'll just do that. That's an aspect of our calling. Got all these aspects we're talking about. But one, God will give us the message if we trust him. He'll just fill us. It's like we're like Jeremiah. I can't hold back. I've got to say what God has asked me to say, what he's put upon my heart. And then the seventh aspect, next to the last, look at verses 18 through 20. Then, aspect to our calling. Then they will heed your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt. And you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us. And now, please, let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not even by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst, and after that he will let you go. What's the seventh aspect of the call of God? God can reveal what will be the result of our following him. He won't always do this, but here he's speaking to Moses and saying, Moses, you're going to need to know this. This is what's going to happen in the end. You know, God will send us out at times, and he'll just give us a little bit of glimmer. He'll give us the A, go. Then he gives us a little bit about the B, maybe a little bit about the C, and he can do that. But often he won't necessarily share a lot with us, but that's one of the aspects of the call. Whatever we need, he'll give it to us. Promises that he will give it to us. And the eighth aspect of the call of God, look at verse 21 and 22. And I will give this people favor in the sight of Egypt, of the Egyptians, and it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty-handed. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. What's the last aspect we're going to talk about the call of God? We can expect the favor and blessing of God to be upon that which he has called us to do. We just see that. It's the way that God works. If he's called us to do that, trust him. Just trust him. Walk by faith. Listen to him very, very closely. Learn who he is and how he works in your life, and just follow him through, and then watch the fruitfulness that will come forth from our life. You know, God wants to do great and marvelous things. Amen? He truly, truly does. He can do it through each and every one of us. Let's close with Isaiah chapter 6, please. Principles of ministry in chapter 3 that we see verses 1 through 10, and then we see aspects of the calling of God as we go through that. Look at chapter 6, Isaiah. We see another call. Study the call of Jeremiah. Study the call of Ezekiel. Study the call of Paul. Study the call of the disciples. And you learn a lot about how God will work in our lives and empower us. But just very briefly, look at the call of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. So he saw God first. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings, and with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." He saw the holiness of God. What did Moses see? God says, "Take off your sandals. You're on holy ground." So the call of God, there's similarities as you study him. Verse 4, he said, "And the post of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said," look at the result. Here's the same as Moses. "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." But after that, notice what happened. "One of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged.'" As God is moving in our call, moving in our lives, he'll bring us to those points of brokenness. That's where we want him to take us, to the places of brokenness, so he can purify us and he can prepare us. But notice what happened to Isaiah chapter 8, or verse 8. "And I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom will I send, and who will go for us?'" There's a response. And then he said, "Here am I, send me." And then the invitation, and he said, "Go and tell this people." And I told him what he would tell in that way. Call of God is wonderful, is it not? Let's stand together and let's pray. I'm going to pray right now and ask God to just bless in a certain way. You may be asking the Lord for his purpose in your life, his call. So I'm just going to ask him to bless and reveal as he sees fit. Father, thank you so much for these men and women. Thank you for our short time in the Word. Thank you for the testimony that Jeff brought us. Lord, we just come before you and want to just praise you and thank you that we can be about our Father's business. And so as we're all here, Lord, we're all equal. We're all the same. We're only flesh and blood. But your Spirit dwells inside of us. And by your Spirit, Lord, you can do great and marvelous things. You can use us to come and speak the gospel message to a person, and they will hear it for the first time, and they will repent of their sins and give their lives to you. Lord, you will use us as we have experienced something, as we've gone through life, and it's exactly what somebody else needs, and because we have experienced it, then you will use us in that call that you have upon us for that day to speak these words into another person's life, and they will be blessed. I pray that you would work in a miraculous way. You know, we're not all called to be Billy Grahams, Chuck Smiths, other people that we know. Lord, we're just simple people. But thank you for the privilege, and I pray that you would reveal your calling to each and every one of us day by day, even moment by moment. For those that are searching and you're wanting to speak specifically to them, I pray that you would do that. But empower us with your Spirit, for we love you and thank you that you will give us the privilege of being involved with that which you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey.